We interrupt this college basketball Saturday to bring you the latest installment of No Sleep Teal right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside my co-host, Evan Ryer. Evan, no shortage of topics this time around as the Jacksonville Jaguars in the last few days have made what, at least in these parts, and of course we're at Party Girl again, Party Girl Avondale, where you can find the best chicken salad, the best sausage, Kaneka sausage and cheddar biscuits. A lot of great stuff here at Party Girl. But here in Duval, I would say it qualified it at least as semi-seismic, this news of the last few days.
Yeah, 0 to 100, you know, it was kind of it was real quiet there for a bit. And we knew that it was going to ramp up. You know, you get in the March and the free agency window starts coming in hot and, you know, combine's already gone behind us. But yeah, that was kind of a bit of a surprise, you know, with the release of Evan Engram, the trade of Christian Kirk and the retirement of Mitch Morse. Three exits in three different fashions, which is
they say they come in threes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, there's a couple other guys gone, right? Like Josh Reynolds and Devin Duvernay.
And we'll have a separate show.
Yeah.
For Josh Reynolds. Obviously.
Pay our respects. Ronald Darby as well. Right. He's out of there. It's while it is interesting, it's also, you know, exciting to think about the possibilities of what they're going to do from here. I will say, was it 2 weeks ago? I said that I think Christian Kirk will be on the roster. So that's pretty funny to look like a complete dumbass on that one. But that's how it goes sometimes.
Let me ask you this. Did you think it would be Kirk or Engram?
I didn't think both were going to be gone.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought for sure that Trevor, whether that was due to his own influence,
because they're both his guys. I mean,
yeah.
Christian is often associated with Trevor, but Evan too, you know.
Evan, I mean, the post that Trevor put up about Evan Engram seemed very heartfelt, seemed very genuine. You know, veteran guys that, you know, especially as he was getting past kind of the rocky start of the Urban Meyer era. You know, guys that I think were pretty important to him in terms of probably just developing connections, teaching, all that different stuff. But at the end of the day, there's a whole new setup. You can't just carry, you know, the guys of the past just because the quarterback might want them. Obviously, we don't know the actual reasons and, you know, why exactly they're deciding to do this. But it's, we're going to be looking at a pretty different wide receiver group next year.
There's been angst here locally in that Kirk went to a division rival in the Houston Texans. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you sit with that? Or if you're James Gladstone and look, you're going to release the guy anyway, even if it is the Houston Texans, you get a pick. It's a seventh round pick, as we know, but it's better than just cutting him. And then he could have ended up with the Texans anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing is like there's, you know, you have no leverage. There is no point in, you know, not just taking whatever resources you can get. And as we've talked about, you know, a lot recently, Gladstone is a guy who wants a lot of draft picks. You know, that's how the Rams operated. While this is a 2026 seventh round pick, so it's kind of like, all right, you know, like it's the lowest amount of return you could possibly ask for, really. Still, I mean, I don't mind it at all. If the Texans were in greater need of someone like Kirk, I would be maybe a little bit more worried. But, I mean, I don't really see him being more than a role player there. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's third on the depth chart probably. What, third, fourth?
Like, I think the Texans are thinking of him in a way that most people have thought of Christian Kirk throughout his career. Hopefully a dynamic, very dynamic number two.
Yeah.
And in Jacksonville, he was asked to be more of that, really.
I'm going to be curious what, you know, those targets and that, you know, setup with CJ Stroud looks like, just because CJ Stroud has already shown that he has like a really good relationship with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And even, I mean, Stephon Diggs, you know, started the flash later in the season, Robert Woods, John Mechie. I mean, these are, you know, there's a lot of freaking guys on that team that are all solid at the very least receivers. So, it doesn't bother me too much. It will be hilarious when he goes off for seven catches, 158 yards and two touchdowns in that first time that
in Jacksonville,
the revenge game in Jacksonville will be hilarious when he is just torching, you know, whoever's up on him. But
I think the reason why the Texans like him is you mentioned some of the guys, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. Tank Dell can't stay healthy. We've said that about Christian Kirk the last 2 years. So that's kind of the wild card in all of this. A healthy Christian Kirk to go along with Nico Collins. Yeah, I can buy that. Right. But that's where if you're the Jags and you looked at that big number that was coming this season, it didn't really line up, I'm sure, especially when you're going through a regime change. There's also schematic and conceptual things absolutely. To take in. It's going to be a different football team. And to me, it kind of says, you know, in some ways, we feel like we can lean on Trevor to elevate some new guys that we might bring in here with Brian Thomas Jr. But there's also the run game side of this that, you know what, we'd like to have those type of dynamic receivers, especially when they're healthy. But we're going to be a different offense in terms of physicality and trying to run the football. And in that way, help Trevor more so than even perhaps putting more weapons around him at the skill spots.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it does, you know, it to me, when I also saw all that news, like it did make me kind of think maybe they are fully committed to just like a longer term rebuild. Like they may not be trying to see how competitive this year is going to be. You know, I mean, obviously no matter what, this year is not going to be a final product by any means. But you know, it does make me think, okay, they might be thinking, okay, we don't have to get it, you know, like all the pieces together right now. We're not as focused on that. But yeah, finances are critical too. And curious to see what they do to kind of replace these guys. I mean, obviously we've talked about Brenton Strange with Evan Ingram kind of being, you know, he's definitely going to be the number one tight end now, but at receiver, you know, how are they going to address it? Because they have to add some dudes, whether they are investments for the future or immediate, you know, support, you know, they have to add some dudes. So that makes the draft a little bit more interesting. I don't think many people were talking about receiver a whole lot in the draft. Now I'm thinking maybe in the mid round somewhere they might, you know, maybe even as high as third or second round, you could see it depending on if they find the right match, the right guy. And also free agency, they might be aggressive out the gate in free agency and go ahead and get somebody that, you know, is proven may not be, you know, a star by any means, but somebody that can at least line up on the other side of, Brian Thomas Jr. and make a play or two.
Yeah, it maybe it's a thought process that Parker Washington's ready to take another big step forward. But, you know, we're going to talk, and I agree. They're going to have to address receiver in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
It feels like they're probably, for better or worse, entwined with Gabe Davis maybe for this next season based on his contract. So you would love for him to show some value in terms of the big numbers that you awarded him a year ago at this time. But, you know, prioritize these three departures for me by position, maybe even more so than just the specific player, but it's hard not to tie the player into it. Prioritize wide receiver, tight end, and center now, as you think about free agency and then the draft and kind of the pecking order for need at those spots.
You know, it's crazy. It's worst case scenario for the draft, because I think center is actually probably the most important position to address, just because of the offensive line issues have been so prevalent, and they desperately need to fix that before. Like, honestly, yeah, if you think Trevor can elevate receivers, if you think you've got a good running back duo, that's fantastic, but you got to be able to block, and they haven't been able to do that. So for me personally, I think it's center. And then I would probably go receiver behind that and then tight end just because I actually am very optimistic about Brenton Strange. I liked a lot of what we were seeing. But center first, just because, you know, we've already talked about it off podcast a bunch, but it doesn't seem like they could run with Fortner as the starter, even with his Cohen connections, all that stuff.
Yeah, you were early on that. As soon as Liam Cohen was hired,
I was like
talking about Luke Fortner, big winner, and who knows, maybe
they might feel
in this personnel, this new personnel approach can see it with him. I guess the problem with Fortner for me was that when he was in there, it didn't feel like he was, you know, subpar in terms of technique and understanding how to play the position. It seemed like physically, you know, he was overmatched. And I don't know how much you can change that. you know, at this level. Maybe he's made some changes physically. There is going to be a new strength and conditioning staff. Maybe they hold some type of secret with all that. But I'm with you on center, because especially when you talk about being able to run the football as a big part of your identity.
No, I mean, it's a massive issue already. And then now you really have to figure out like interior basically as quickly as possible. You've got, you know, not
guard
a lot of
to guard, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like they have question marks all across that line, really. I mean, don't get me wrong. I guess tackle is pretty much set up. Who knows? They might have.
It's set up on paper, but on paper, to your point, how much are Harrison and Little really going to, you know, step like, forward? They need to. They both do.
In terms of reliability, in terms of like how confident do you feel? It's like a 3 out of 10. Like, I don't like feel that confident about that setup. Just because we really haven't seen Harrison definitely took a step back this past year. Little, you know, continues to be solid, but the injury issues, all that different stuff. It's not in terms of confidence. It's not really there, but those are kind of the two positions, I guess, that you would expect those two guys to be the starters. Everything in between, I feel like should be up for grabs. Like, honestly, like I think both guard spots and center, I personally don't mind seeing three new faces if that's what it comes down to. But the issue with that is that, you know, in the draft, especially, you know, in the first and second round, taking a center or guard is not exactly high value type stuff. Interior linemen are not something you want to, and that doesn't mean you couldn't nail a third round pick or a fourth round pick or something like that.
Yep.
We've seen Gladstone do that with the Rams, but simultaneously, it's like, okay, you know, it feels like if you are going to address those positions, I feel like you got to go for more experienced players. But, you know, we've added experienced guards in the past. Brandon Scherff, you know, I mean, it's
Ezra
and it didn't work out. So it's I don't know how you fix it. It's going to be very interesting to see how Gladstone especially approaches that.
The Jags are interesting because when you look at some of the key spots on the roster, they shouldn't be picking fifth. They shouldn't have had the kind of season that would result in them picking fifth overall in the first round. But then when you kind of get into it, we're talking about the holes on offense. And I agree, in terms of value, it doesn't line up real well with a number five overall pick when you're thinking center guard. Like, you may really like Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, using him as an example. But are you really going to take him fifth overall?
No.
If you were 12th to 15th, somewhere in that range, okay. You know, it's a more sensible alignment there with that position and where you definitely still have a need guard to guard. But we talk about all these offensive sort of question marks, and you look at the mock drafts that continue to flood us, and you still see maybe a defensive lineman there in that fifth spot with Mason Graham. And understanding, again, we're about to go through the free agency phase. Trades are always a possibility when you're talking about the NFL draft. It just seems to be a little bit of across the board right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the fantasy I've already had, and I think probably I'm not on Twitter really at this point, but I'm imagining a bunch of Jaguars fans are talking about, what if we traded for DK Metcalf? What if we got in there? It seems like he's going to the Patriots. It seems like that's already like almost a done deal. But who knows? Maybe mired Gladstone's work while he's with the Rams, you know, when they had to play twice a year or something like that. I mean, that is what's interesting about this, is that as quickly as these departures have happened, just as quickly in this next week, a week from now, when we record the next episode, they might have four or five new guys. You know,
so what's your anticipation? Do you think they're going to be very active in free agency, or, as you've talked about, it doesn't really line up with the way the Rams have done it, you know, to kind of go nuts in free agency? I think something you said earlier, I don't think James Gladstone, Tony Boselli, Liam Cohen look at the current situation as a rebuild.
Right.
It's a pretty strong reno, I would say, renovation.
Yeah.
But you also get the sense with some of these moves that there's a bigger picture that's being taken into account. And that's understandable, because if we know something about the ownership and their approach, they've been more than patient with guys, with people in those roles of the general manager spot.
Yeah. I really do think that patience is going to be kind of the route that they go. If I had to pick one way or the other, I don't think that this is going to be a organizational setup that's going to rush into anything, because honestly, if you did rush into stuff after what they've been, you know, Gladstone's been in the building for less than a month. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I know they have like all, you know, a supreme amount of knowledge, whether they're in the Jaguars building or the Rams building or the Buccaneers building or whatever. But, you know, you have to kind of, you know, sell yourself to, you know, especially in free agency, like, and doing that, you know, as like a brand new GM, as in a brand new city, in a brand new situation, it's not easy to do.
It's not. And I don't see them being, I could see them picking and choosing a little bit, but I don't see them being over the top active in terms of this upcoming run, because really when I look at what's out there right now, I'm not sure, you know, and they're in a great space in terms of cap space. So if they wanted to take a flyer kind of on some folks, they could probably do that. I just don't get the sense they're going to be that type of participant in this upcoming stretch.
Yeah. You know, the number one name that comes to mind, and I think this is probably another one that Jags fans are talking about a bunch, is Chris Godwin. You know, as a, you know, obviously Cohen knows him well. And then on top of that, a veteran presence, if you're looking to get a guy with a little bit more experience, a guy who's fairly proven, probably has, you know, like, you know, best years probably behind him. He's just turned 29, but I mean, shoot, he's probably got a bit in the tank, and he knows that offense well. So you think of like maybe something like that. But I would, if they do, I think in free agency, it'll be like four or five, maybe let's say three or four signings. And they'll probably be guys that will have a very significant role, but aren't necessarily going to be, you know, key building pieces or like the guys that you're thinking, okay, this is why the team's going to be really good.
I guess my thinking is I don't see them right out the gate. Locking guys down. I could see them taking an approach. Well, let's see what type of interest a Chris Godwin truly attracts. And then we'll maybe wade into some situations once we get a feel. It goes back to the patience, I think, that you'll see exuded by Gladstone, who, by the way, I still say, and I know it's being perceived as this triumvirate, and I do think there is significant input from Liam Cohen. There is perhaps from Tony Boselli as well. But I think it's James Gladstone when it comes to personnel that is going to be the guy that's going to make the call on most, if not all, of these situations. Yeah. So, Ev, which are you kind of looking forward to the most from a free agency perspective? Are you just looking at this with sort of the inquisitive nature that, hey, we're going to get an idea of how this is really going to work under James Gladstone, you know, like what we've talked about, the different scenarios? I guess we'll finally get to see what the actual approach looks like, unlike previous regimes where I think fans had gotten to the point where they'd seen enough.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about it is that obviously, you know, we can only go off of the information we have from his time with the Rams and, you know, in the NFL previously, which, we talked at length about lots of draft picks, you know, generally having success in the mid round. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's not like he was the GM, right? He had a very, very important voice in that building, but wasn't the GM. You know, we're going to see exactly what he, you know, specifically wants to do. And that could be, you know, beyond just general, like, hey, let's load up on draft picks and, like, you know, kind of shotgun spread it. So free agency will tell us a lot. If they do, in fact, you know, if they kind of surprise us and they do, in fact, go aggressive and early in free agency, then the draft becomes a huge question mark. You know, what we thought was probably going to be, you know, his modus operandi is now, you know, kind of up in the air. It's going to be interesting because we talked at length too about, in terms of talent level in this draft, there's some pretty strong areas, and then there's some areas that are, you know, surprisingly weak compared to previous years. And so Like, you know, in terms of a trade back, you know, we talked about, you know, maybe they take Booker or whatever, they could trade back. That would actually work with the, okay, they can generate more draft picks. You know, there's some simpatico there. There's some like synergy there, but at the same time, you know, that's easier said than done. You know, how many people actually are trying to get up to the fifth spot? You know, maybe somebody that wants a quarterback, but like I said, the quarterback talent this year compared to previous years isn't nearly as strong.
Yeah, the Jags are going to find out about the legitimate interest in Shedeur Sanders, I think.
Yeah.
Because if somebody really likes that guy, they're going to want to probably get up to five, if not higher, to take him. May not need to. And then there's the interesting aspect of what the Raiders have done here in the last 24 hours in terms of impacting the quarterback position in this upcoming draft, with the Raiders acquiring Geno Smith from the Seattle Seahawks. So that would seem to eliminate that type of scenario in this draft. And, you know, it's a pretty elongated process. I just think that with Gladstone in there, the setup in general is going to be a lot different, including the draft process in terms of how they do their vetting of prospects, in terms of, you know, background and what they've taken away from these guys already at the Senior Bowl or most recently, and probably more importantly, because Gladstone was there, Liam Cohen was there, Tony was there, the combine. So the dynamics of the whole operation, I would say, have shifted tremendously. It was Trent Baalke and then the support. Now you've got a bit of a triumvirate, although again, I think Gladstone, don't let that baby face kill you, fool you. Okay. Don't let the boy band looks fool you. I think this is the guy that, you know, when it's all said and done and it's draft night or it's free agency, he's going to be the one pulling the trigger.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, had it my way, and probably what they're trying to do is, you know, when you think about exterior, when you think about, you know, the bringing players in, sending them out, whatever, that's going to be all Gladstone. Interior, in the locker room, that's where we want Boselli, you know, doing the most, because
in the building.
You know, culture, right? Because that was, you know, when they moved on from Peterson and all that stuff, that was, you know, a huge talking point for the both of us was, you know, okay, this is, you know, fine and all, but we need culture. We need whatever. That's what I want Boselli doing. I'm not disrespecting his ability to scout or to, you know, potentially put together a roster as well. But, you know, Gladstone is the guy who has a very proven track record of doing that. So at the moment, until further notice, that's who I want handling, you know, the personnel kind of technical decisions on it. And then Boselli handling, you know, the intangibles, the emotion, the culture.
Yeah. The day-to-day operations there at the Miller Electric Center. Hey, Ev, anything else before we get out of here on a Saturday afternoon?
Just a correction. I kind of forgot that Stephon Diggs is also about to be a free agent. Yeah. So we're going to get the double revenge game. Stephon Diggs to Jacksonville.
Dueling, you
know. Yeah,
revenge
yeah, yeah.
games.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't be all that upset with Stephon Diggs.
I've always been a big fan. I've always really, really liked him, like, and at the Vikings, at Maryland. I've always been a fan. I think it would be really fun. Might not actually make the team that much better or whatever, but I think the upside on if you're going to go for like a 30 plus receiver,
potentially really good Twitter too. You know.
Yeah. Know. I need to see Stephon Diggs' takes on Jacksonville. I need to see him, you know, say that.
I went to the Dreamette and I don't get it.
Yeah. Like, that would, oh my God. Yeah. Like, it would burn down the city.
Y'all really into this soft serve stuff?
Yeah. If he said that,
and you got to pay cash. They don't take
Larry's
cards.
If he said Larry's was just okay.
I got Angie, the brisket. If he said Angie's was dry, okay.
That's the real because Angie's goes so hard. They've already, I don't know if you saw, but today they unveiled the Gladstone sandwich.
Oh yeah,
But no, that would be the ultimate, you know, heater, because Angie's just goes so hard for the Jags
we gotta figure out something like that for here at Party Girl. You know,
yeah,
we gotta. Maybe we could honor one of the specialists, you know, because kickers and punters are people too. And they're the only Pro Bowlers right now. So,
well, yeah, come on, give me the mastic sandwich. Give me the cook, whatever the cook is.
Logan Cook chicken salad.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sure they'd get in there. I'm sure they would swing
get
by
party girl on that. Yeah, for sure.
Yard them up.
Absolutely.
But other than that, I think I'm good.
By the way, happy birthday to Mr. Evan Ryer right here. Probably should have done that off the top, but we didn't want to get him all, you know.
We're here for the Jags. You know?
This is about the Jags first.
Yes, absolutely.
But a happy 29th to our guy right here. He made me a dad. He's made me a better dad in a lot of ways, and we're very proud of him. And I'll stop now.
I am very grateful for y'all and grateful for all the birthday wishes I've gotten this year. It's been a very fun weekend so far. Hoping that, you know, the Jaguars can maybe give me a few belated gifts with some cool moves in free agency or what have you here in the next week or two.
I think they're trying as we speak. Yep. Well, that for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanking you once again for tuning in right here to No Sleep Teal on the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, please hit that button right now, the subscribe button. Turn on those notifications. You'll get all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a thumbs up always helps us out as well. Once again, for Ev, I'm Trav. Till next time. So long, everybody.